RTL Original Podcast.
Hi there, it's Stephen Stepslow, host of Sunnyside Up, your breakfast show on Today Radio. Give us a listen, we would really appreciate it. Now, for this week's Song 2, I have to call myself out. Why? Well, first, this has been on the to-do list for quite some time. Sam Steen spoke with E! Of the Eels last year. Yes, 2023. And we are only just getting to it now. And, well, would you go and believe it? E! Has no hesitation in agreeing with the theory. None at all. Which is nice, considering the Eels have recently released another cracking record this year in Eels Time, which I suggest you check out. Don't forget to star, review, comment and recommend. Oh, and subscribe, please. And thank you. Cheers.
Once upon a time, Mom and Dad felt fine. Thought it was time for a birth. Ever since then, the trouble never ends. But it's a good night on Earth.
Hi, everybody. This is E! From the Eels, and you're listening to Today Radio.
He reckons that the second song on an album is the best song, always. And I wonder if there's any thought, if you've any agreement with that, if it's not true, if there's any, you know, what the process is when it comes to
that's
track
a, I mean, that's a pretty good theory. I wouldn't argue with it, you know. I have a soft spot for the second and third songs in general. They should always be good ones, you know. I mean, just thinking off the top of my head of the last couple of albums, I'm like, yeah, the second one, like on this last one, Good Night on Earth is second, I think. And that's a good one, I think. And I've probably screwed some up and put a turd on second occasionally, but I think mostly they're pretty solid.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I've had a quick look back through, and a lot of your song twos are singles.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes I like to mess with everyone's mind and not put a single on as the first song.
So what's the thought process behind track listing then? Do you have a kind of a way or a flow that you like to go with? To like some of the conversations and answers I've gotten when asking this have been, oh, you got to start with a big song and then that sets the tone. And then other people have said, you got to start with something and then, but your song too, that needs to, you know, that's the story of the record.
Yeah. Well, I think both those things are, you know, things that happen. The track list is always in my mind from the beginning. Like, it, you know, once the first song is done, I'm on top of the idea of how to sequence. And it tells me what you need. Like after, when you have about, you know, five or six songs, I'm always arranging them in the best sequence of that. And then it's great because it tells you like what you need. You know, it's like, oh, wait, there's nothing. I need a breather in between these two, or, you know, I need something that's like more, has more space and is quieter or whatever.
That's interesting. So actually the track listing can influence the writing of the songs themselves.
Yeah, completely. And lyrically too. It can be like, wow, these are all intense, you know, let's get something fun in between these two or whatever, you know.
Cool. And then is it the same for the live set list then? Is that the same kind of idea that you're trying to find ebb and flow?
Yeah. I would love to be like a band that doesn't have a set list. You know, that we stick to night. And what we do, we work really hard to structure a show that has momentum and maybe even a story to it and has peaks and valleys. And we work really hard to get that. But then we write in a bunch of places where wild cards can happen. So it's not always the same every night.